There's a whole number of articles out there on UBI because the government is now considering bringing it in some form of UBI into Canadian politics. I don't know what you want to call it, into the Canadian industry. They want to start doing universal basic income. So they've started an exploratory committee to discuss what that would look like. Okay, the premise behind UBI, Universal Basic Income, is just that, universal. They making sure that every Canadian has a basic amount, receives a basic amount of income. And what that amount is, you know, whether it's $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, whatever, they're trying to evaluate currently what that would look like across the Canadian landscape. And it would just mean that everyone in the country would be able to get it. Now, there are some other questions about, does someone living abroad get it, or some of those kind of questions. But right now, if you're Canadian, you would be able to get universal basic income if they bring this into effect. You'll be able to get a certain basic amount. Now, what do I think about universal basic income? There's a number of different ways to look at it. From an economic standpoint, what you're talking about is a redistribution of wealth. Because the government doesn't have money of its own. When the government prints money, they are effectively diluting the money that Canadians already have. So effectively, by redistributing it, they're taking from people who have money saved and putting it out and distributing it to people that don't have. But because people don't see that, it's not like someone comes and takes the dollars out of your hands, divides them up, and then gives them. So as a result, people don't see that. And you only feel it really in the economy when things get more expensive, because see, now there's how many more people with an extra, let's say they give an extra $1,000 a month, an extra $12,000. Well, now that cash is going to different businesses and to grocery stores, to the car companies, whatever, as people start using up that cash. And so those things tend to get more expensive, unless you're in a deflationary economy when prices are going down. Then that would be a different case scenario, but that's not what we're seeing. The whole case for UBI that's being made is because of inflation, prices going up, and so they want to get that into the hands of everybody. And so from an economic standpoint, do I agree with it? Well, it means more money if you have a business, if you have a way of making an income off of it, then you're thrilled, because the government is going to basically redistribute that wealth. And what happens over time, always happens over time, is money flows from people that don't know how to use it to those that know how to acquire it. Well, if UBI goes out, you can't really control where that money goes to, unless you're giving it out in some form where it can only go into certain sectors. Like if you were to give credits, say, for, you know, the Liberals came out with their dentist bill, you know, where they were giving money for people to go to the dentist. Okay, well, it means you can only spend that if you're going to the dentist, right? So where are you going to see inflation? You're going to see it with the dentist, right? And maybe they have some sort of capped pricing for the dentist so that can't go up, something along those lines. But when you just give it to someone carte blanche and you give them that amount of money, an extra $1,000 a month or $1,000 a month, what you're saying is, they're going to spend it in these different places. When cash, when multiple dollars are chasing the same goods and services, the cost of those goods and services go up. That's called supply and demand. The greater the demand, the higher it goes up. And once you get to a certain point, this is where market dynamics come into play, is when you get to a certain point, then people tap out. Okay, I can't afford that anymore. It's not worth that to me. I will go buy oranges, or I'll go buy something else. And it evens it out. And the market finds a balance. Otherwise, that's your basic premise. And you can't really stop the price of those goods to come in unless those businesses now go out and get so much supply that you can bring down the price of the individual product again. That's the basics of supply and demand. The one other thing, sort of a the black card, if you will, is that people have a lot of debt right now. So you might, rather than seeing bids going up, the cost of goods going up, what you may see instead is a lot of debt coming down. That cash could go towards paying those debts down. And that has an inverse effect, but just to keep it simple, if you're paying down your debts, then that money is not going out in the economy. It's paying off all those debts. And actually what happens is your economy is shrinking in a different way, because now you're not spending that cash. So we actually saw that during COVID, where people weren't able to spend the cash they had, and instead they were paying down debts. And that creates a problem in and of itself. So, because you need, the thing about cash, there's a reason it's called currency, is because it needs to move. When it doesn't move, when it stagnates, when it holds still, then we have another problem, and that is called the debt. And the government debt, because if you're not spending money on stuff, you're not paying taxes. And if you're not paying taxes, they don't have money to be able to pay down the national debt. It is an interesting cycle to when you look at that. When you look at the government is going to give you $12,000 a year. Our basic amount, allowable amount for each person in Canada is $12,600, I believe. So your first $12,600, you're not taxed. Well, if the government goes ahead and gives you $12,000, then everything you make above that next $600 is now taxable. So you're actually creating a higher tax base. You're raising people's tax brackets, because now they're pushing up into new tax brackets by giving them an extra $12,000. Which means more taxes, but now you've got a whole demographic of people that were under this poverty line and under this tax line. Now they're all going to be into that. And here's another interesting thing. This is part of price effect that people don't take into account. When you have poverty costs, meaning everyone has to help try to take care of the costs around poverty. People try to help each other, and the government tries to help out with this cost in some cases. That burden, that workload that would come from everyday people and comes from the government would be lessened, because now people have a basic universal basic income. They all have some money. So what we're saying, that price effect, is that they may not have to be on government assistance. Maybe they might not need to go on unemployment. And depending on how they roll it all out, maybe it doesn't affect unemployment. I don't know. In which case, someone's got more money if they do. Or maybe it does affect it, in which case it offsets some of those things, the amount of money the government has to spend in a different area. So how they decide to roll it out and what the effects are on the economy and the current burden of people not having enough is something that we have yet to see how that rolls out. So here's the thing about labor market dynamics and its impact. If you have more money, you can spend more money. The question is, how many people will have more money? That's the question, because we as human beings are really funny creatures. If we're getting $12,000 a year from the government, does that mean that we're now happy to have that extra amount? Or does it mean that we want to, we don't need as much, we're fine? And so what you can have happen is that a number of people now no longer have that desire to make more. You could get that money and then go still work that job, or, hey, I can take this money and then I don't have to work at all. And so that's an interesting dynamic that we have, is that we may not want to work. In which case, if we don't want to work now, you know, someone's not making as much, all those people, labor participation becomes the question. We're already having a situation right now where people don't want to do certain types of work. Canadians don't want to do certain jobs. And whether it's beneath them, or whether it's the work is too hard, whether it's the youngsters that should be doing that job, whatever you want to say, there are jobs that aren't being filled. Now, the good news is that those jobs now become available for immigrants. You know, people that we're bringing into the country now have access to those jobs. People that are perhaps retirees, you know, we see this at McDonald's. McDonald's used to be the teenager job to get. You go in as a teenager, you start learning some basic skills, you start learning how a job works and hierarchy and all of these sorts of things. Teenagers don't want those jobs anymore, those summer jobs. It's not worth it to them. They don't have the need, because by and large, most families are able to support their kids and help them out. They're doing quite well. And so why would I go work at McDonald's and work my butt off like that? So now that job becomes available for someone that is here studying on a student visa or something like that. Now, all of a sudden, they've got the ability to go work in these jobs and be able to earn that income. But it does mean that all those people that could have taken that job probably are not going to take that job, because they already have a basic income. So now they're looking for something better that they want to do, or they're not looking at all, in which case that puts a whole nother burden on the economy and the labor market. So that's another challenge that we face. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about labor market dynamics. Okay, here's the other side of it. So there's a group of people that are going to, they're just going to take it. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to want to work. Why would I work? I've got money. There's going to be another group that are going to say, hey, now that tops me up. It gives me more. I can live a little bit better. I'm not always under the gun, so to say. There's that demographic. And they're happy getting this extra amount, and they're able to pay their bills. Then there is that next group, which looks at it as an opportunity to be able to go out and do some other things. Now I've got a safety net, so to say. So I've got a basic income. Now I can go try and start up that business that I wanted to try and start up. You can try and start up a software company, sit at home. You've got basic income. You can go ahead and you can work on trying to get that company going. For all the real estate investors, they're going to be thinking, great, let me go buy another rental property, income property. With that, take that and reinvest it. Some of that money will get reinvested in the stock market. Some will get reinvested in the GICs and bonds. And so there is a small subgroup that will take that and they will use it to create wealth. Whereas the other groups will either spend it or outright, or use it to pay down debt. Hence the saying, the rich get richer. It's not because they have more money, but they just do different things with their money. Is it a grabbing point for UBI because of the impact for entrepreneurship, the risk takers? I think it's fantastic for the entrepreneurs. Absolutely, it's a grabbing point for the investors. It's absolutely a grabbing point. Salivating, foaming at the mouth. Yes, give me more resources to make more. Absolutely, it's a beautiful idea, and it's a nice opportunity for everybody. Unfortunately, there's only going to be a handful. Out of 40 million people, let's say 10 to 50,000 people, let's go crazy and give it 100,000 people are going to jump on that and, hey, let me start a business. Let me invest this money in something that will change me financially. The majority of people will not do that. So for the entrepreneurs, the risk takers, they love the idea and they're hoping this goes through. The business owners, listen, everyone's going to make more money because now they're going to be spending it and it's going to find another way to get back. Remember, a lot of this money is tied up in people's homes. It's tied up in people's bank accounts, people who are savers. And so you're lowering the value of their dollars to spread it around to everybody else. I wouldn't have been able to access your equity in your house. But now the government's going to do that for me. They're going to lower the value of the dollar in your house, give it to all these people that don't know how to spend it. And then I just have to create a funnel where I can capture it. Meaning, do I create another business? Do I purchase an income property? That's what investors, entrepreneurs, the risk takers are going to think. How do we create something so that people can spend money? Do I start another? We saw this during COVID. The number of online businesses that were started just shot through the roof, giving people somewhere to spend the dollars because they didn't know what to do with it. Vast majority of people did not pay down debts. Instead, they were out spending it on whatever they could buy from Amazon as quickly as they could. Look, here's my take on UBI, Universal Basic Income. I love the idea. Honestly, I want people to be able to have a basic income so that they can take care of themselves, so that people, especially the poor who don't have, and for whatever situation they're in, it gives them something to be able to live life and not to always have to have a handout to people and need other people's help. I appreciate that because there are a lot of people that are hurting that way. Unfortunately, the other side is also true, is that typically the poor are always going to be amongst us. Someone who's poor but is willing to work, is willing to do what they need to, they always get out of it. I mean, you ask the single mothers that have gone and studied and gotten a university degree, and now they're professionals in an area, and you ask them how they did it. They just had a drive to get out of that situation. And that type of individual, that type of risk taker, that type of person that's not afraid to work, they're not going to stay in that position. They might be in it for a short period of time, but they'll get themselves out. But then there's another mindset, which is called the mindset of the poor. They're going to find a way to get back into that position, even if you give them the lottery winnings from the 649, $10 million, they'll be back there within 5 years' time. That has been proven time and time again. So is UBI a good thing? It is for the people that are looking to invest, the people that are risk takers, the people that are entrepreneurs, they will love it. It's going to help out a lot of people that are able to pay down their bills, pay down their debts. They'll live a much more comfortable life in that way. But overall, throughout history, anytime something like this has been tried, it always just means the price of everything goes up. And the people who saved money are the ones that really get hurt because their dollar is not worth as much as it was before. And so am I for it? Sure, for all the people that want to make money. Am I for it for everyday Canadians? I can't really support it because I think as a whole, it actually hurts Canadians.